Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Comfort, oh comfort my people. Do those words sound familiar? I'd hope to see some heads nodding. Handel's Messiah? I'm not going to sing it to you.
Good.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. So, these words were spoken to Israel in 2 Isaiah. Now, you know, I've told you this before, that Isaiah was not written by one person at one time, sitting down and writing all 66 chapters of the book. We believe that 2 Isaiah was the portion of the book that this chapter is part of that was written in the Babylonian exile. The people had been taken from Jerusalem. They'd been brought to another country. Everything looked bleak and hopeless. They had believed, or at least been led to believe, that their God had failed. They believed, or were told to believe, that the god Marduk had triumphed over the God of Israel. And Isaiah and his contemporaries were not having any of that. And they helped the Jewish people understand that God was not just God of their people, but he was the God of all people. And Jesus came and showed us just how radical the implications of that were and are to this day. This word, comfort, comfort my people, is offered to all of us. Betsy did a great job of doing the readings this morning. I will have to say that you don't make a credible John the Baptist. But that's okay. If I were to wander in here, and I'm taking this on myself, I get to come in wearing a nice robe and a stole. But if I wandered in here wearing a camel skin and eating bugs, I think you would show me the front door and ask me not to come back. And not unreasonably so. But who is tasked with offering words of comfort to us is not something that needs to follow an etiquette handbook. The word of God is valid no matter who speaks it. Now, I was talking with Chris before the worship service this morning, and we were getting ourselves a little depressed as we were talking about the current state of affairs. And you want to talk about politics, we can get depressed. You want to talk about the economy, we can get depressed. You want to talk about the environment, we can get depressed. You want to talk about history, we can get depressed. And then just to add on a fillip of joy, I looked at the prayer list that Deb was writing in. And she was offering prayers for people to be relieved of the violence in so many parts of the world. And the world just looks like one hot mess. This is when we need to hear the words, comfort, comfort ye, my people. And they're not just some sort of cold comfort. They're not like finding out you've won the lottery and you have your ticket in your wallet half an hour after your wallet has been stolen. Instead, these words matter. We Christians have traditionally preached that God is returning. We do not know the hour. We do not know the place. We do not know the form. But one vision has God returning in glory. And glory is a really big deal in Scripture. We don't imagine that God's going to fly in a fighter jet or ride in a tank. He's not going to have the army marching behind him. But the force of his arrival will change things. And we need to prepare for his return. So yes, make a pathway in the desert. And God will make the high places low and make it so he can travel through it. That's what this season of Advent is about. It's about preparing. And yes, Jesus may return as a baby. Who knows where? Who knows what it'll look like? I don't know. But we've had children in this congregation, and we see the joy they bring to their parents and to the wider congregation. And some of these children have been loved and have been cared for, and that's great. But we know there are children out there who are not loved or cared for. Maybe some of you grew up as those children. Making a place for Jesus, preparing for Jesus, is changing things here in our world. So yes, I told you, we can't save ourselves. And I'm going to say that again. We cannot save ourselves. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do everything we can to try to make things better. So again, those of you who have had parents will say this all sounds familiar. But I remember when Chip was born, a little more than 17 years ago, and we went through all sorts of craziness to get the house ready for him. And we put little stoppers in all the outlets. Now, the baby was not going to be crawling the day we brought him home. But we wanted the house to be safe. And then we put gates up at the top of the stairs. And those could be an inconvenience to get around sometimes. But that was a heck of a lot better than our child going bump, 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 bump down the stairs and spot at the bottom. Those are the things we do to make ready for a child. Chip was walking and he was talking sooner than I could ever imagine. And he was walking and talking before we came here. But you'll remember when he showed up here, 3 years old, he was a whirlwind. He just was running around. He was, I think, at least charming people in coffee hour. And that was great. That is what we should be looking for with the baby Jesus. So the baby Jesus was a human baby. Yes, Jesus is fully divine, but Jesus was fully human. And I've said this before, but probably the most satisfying preaching moment I've ever had was in the Groton School Chapel when I was filling in on Christmas Eve and I was giving the homily during the service. And we had a bunch of faculty members there with their children, some of whom were Xavier's age and Emery's age, some who were a little bit older, like Andy. But you would have thought they won the lottery when they heard me say Jesus was a baby, and I was holding Chip, who was an infant at that time, and he pooped. And Jesus pooped. Now, I don't want to start getting into all sorts of bodily functions now. But why can't we say that in church? Jesus was fully human. And that's great. And we like to imagine him returning. And we imagine this tall, strapping young man with flowing hair. And now that we've all been influenced by TVs and the movies, we imagine him having rippling pecs. And Jesus looks like a superhero. But that's not what the story of Jesus is all about. And we're reminded of what the story of Jesus is about in 2 weeks when we celebrate the Nativity. We are going to be welcoming in the God who not only provides his comfort, but for some strange reason decided that he was going to place himself at our mercy. God, as far as I know, did not need to come into the world as an infant. He could have shown up fully grown, ready to get to work. But God wanted to be able to say that he knew our life. He knew our troubles. He knew the challenges we had to deal with. And so Jesus was a baby, and Jesus grew up, and Jesus had to learn how to walk, and Jesus learned how to talk. God knows our stories, each and every one of us. So when we hear these words, comfort, comfort, they're not just some text from long ago, spoken to some people who are exiled. We're fortunate. We're not in exile. At least physically, we're not in exile. We might feel like we're exiled sometime. Maybe society is not what we want it to be. Maybe things aren't the way they were when we were kids. Maybe that's not a bad thing. But we need comfort. And God is always there. Always. And that's like all I could say for the morning is God is always there. God was here when the choir was singing. God was here when Xavier came up with Emery and his parents. God is here amongst you. You are the body of Christ. So yes, I'm laying some work on you. It's not just my job as a preacher to make like a two-bit John the Baptist and tell you, make way the way of the Lord. We all have a job to do. We are all able and we are all equipped to share the love of God with others in our community. And it doesn't matter where you went to school or what you do for a living, or whether you retired or whether you're looking for a new job, you can share the love of God with others. And we do that here at church. We try to do it on Sunday mornings with a good worship service. We do it throughout the week through our open door ministry, which I'll ask you to support later on. We do it through the various initiatives that we've got going on with our partner organizations in the community. The work goes on, and it doesn't end. And my hope is when people think of those crazy Christians, they'll think of us trying to do good for our neighbors. Which is not really a bad thing, is it? So I've got to get the sports reference in, which I'll do now, but you may have read in the news yesterday that Shohei Ohtani signed a $700 million contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's a lot of money. I've seen Ohtani play a game. He's a really good athlete. But $700 million? I hope for his sake, and also for the Dodgers owner's sake, that he's able to produce over the next 5 years. That's a lot of hits he's got to make. He's got to throw a lot of pitches. But from what I've seen of Ohtani-san, he takes his job seriously. And he'll bring all he's got to the plate. Now, I'm not asking anybody here to have a major league quality career. But I am asking you to bring that kind of love and dedication to what you do each and every day. And I'm going to ask you to bring that kind of love and dedication into the work you do for the church, which you do. So yes, we've got a birthday to celebrate in 2 weeks. And my hope is that everybody's head will be fully present and they'll be ready for the Christmas day. Christmas was a miracle and it continues to be a miracle. And there's really not much more to say, is there? Will you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of prophets like Isaiah and John. We thank you for all the faithful throughout the years who have shared your love and your work with the wider world. We thank you for being present in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.